At this time, I would like to introduce the second speaker, Tawanda R. from Northern Virginia.
Hello, my name is Tawanda, and I'm a recovering addict. And I like to thank God for being God, and thank God for my sponsor. Because I'm under no illusion today how I got here and who helped me to stay here. So I always like to share that first. I'm a little nervous too, Eric. I first want to thank the CNA 26 for allowing me to come up here and share my experience, strength, and hope. Right. Unrealistic expectations. And I was listening to Eric when he was sharing, and all I could think about is we more alike than different, right? Because I used to smoke that boat. I used to go to the go-go, luncheon. Can't see nothing. All I could hear is boom, 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 boom. Right? And I like to fight, you know, but that's for a whole nother meeting because I can take all, that's another meeting. Right, but my sponsor always told me to remember my story at the end, right? Because at the end, that's when I was feeling less than. At the end, I realized that I wanted to die because I did not want to live the way I was living. So it's real simple. At the end for me, I had a half partner, which I always had, a half partner. That's my unrealistic expectation because I thought I was so cute and everybody wanted me. Everybody, when I tell you that. So, okay, so I had this half partner. He my baby father now. Y'all seen him? So this particular day, we had been looting and pillaging all day. Looting and pillaging. Right? And I saw my cousin. And he told me whenever I want to get some help, let him know, right? So, okay, I'm listening to what he's saying, but I'm really not paying no attention to it. I realized that in my fourth and fifth step, I made an appointment to get clean, right? So I carried a pistol. That was because my half-partner carried a pistol. You know, when they say when in Rome, you got to do as the Romans do. I ain't want to shoot nobody, you know, because I'm really not a gangster. I come from a nice, humble family, you know. My father worked, my mother worked. I had two sisters. One of my sisters was mentally retarded. So I realized at an early age that I was being picked on and I had unrealistic expectations of other people. I used to walk my sister home from the babysitter and people would tease me and I would always ask my mother, why are these people talking to me about my sister like that? My mother would tell me, you know, people don't know no better. All you can do is pray for them to want it, right? I was black. I was short. So that's why I always liked to fight because I wanted to get the people above me, you know. So at the end of this particular day, we was looting and pillaging, and I saw my cousin, and he said, when you want to get some help, let's get some help. So I told him, yeah, okay, come pick me up. I told him come pick me up on Friday. And I knew that he was coming to pick me up, so I got high that whole night. And me and my half partner was together, but he was getting real petty. I don't know if anybody else was with anybody like that, but he started getting on my nerve. And I said, okay, I don't need you. You know, because part of my story is I fix you. Okay, I'm talking about unrealistic expectations because I expected him, even though we were smoking, to do exactly what I wanted him to do. How unrealistic is that? Okay, so I left him. I went to go try to sell my pistol. Went to a guy that I knew. And that I knew he didn't want to have nothing to do with me. He said, okay, you see the people on the porch? I said, I see him. He said, you go deal with them. And he left. So I said, okay. I was driving my mother's car, was not in getaway condition. Let me just say that. I parked it in front of the house because my mind was telling me that I need to get in and get out. This is my last one. I don't know about nobody else, but I want to do what I got to do right now because this is the end. That's it. Okay? So I park in front of the car, in front of the house. I'm talking to the dude. He come off the porch. He say, yeah, what's up? I said, I don't know what you're talking about. Who? What? He said, well, I heard you was trying. trying to sell a pistol. I said, what? I don't know what you're talking about. Because now I'm thinking, because I'm one of them people that like to think on my feet. They're unrealistic. So I'm thinking and I'm telling myself, self, if you pull this pistol out, it's going to be some gunplay. You don't want no trouble. I said, okay. So every time people will walk by, I talk real loud. Every time cars would come out, back up in the street, you know, thinking that I can get this guy off me. So we done that dance for about 5 minutes. And he said, you see the guy on the porch? I looked around. I said, yeah, I see him. He said, if you don't get that thing up, he gonna shoot you. Yeah, I go again. I said, okay, self. If he gonna shoot, he gonna have to shoot through him to get to me. So every time he move, I move. Cars come, I be backing in the street. People come, I'm talking real loud. And we done this dance for about 20 minutes. He say, man, get the fuck on away from here. I said, what? Self, you done got away. Damn, I fixed him. That's all I could think about because, this is how God worked for me. I didn't even realize that he was giving me a chance to go lay my ass down so I can go into treatment the next day, right? All I could think about was fixing him, right? So I go get my half partner, my baby father now, y'all seen him? Okay. So I go, I'm just checking. So I go get him. He give me all these instructions after what to do. He masks up. He say, pull here, do this, do that. Now, I told you the car wasn't in getaway condition. So we get to the bottom of the hill, and I stop. I said, damn, are you sure you want to do this? Because, you know, just get a car. It's okay. So we get back in the car, and I step on the gas, and I had my foot to the floor. We was doing 2 miles an hour, going up the hill. Hey! So when we get to the top of the hill, we jump over the hill now because I'm flowing it. So, you know. And God working again. When we got up there, with nobody out there. I said, phew, Lord. So he said, pull around the corner. So I pull around the corner. We get out the car, he give me all these instructions again. He masks up what to do, where to be at, what to... And the guy was coming around the corner. And he saw us before we seen him. And when we got back in the car, the guy went to the left. I turned the car to the right. Instantly, I felt that monkey lift from my shoulders. He was all in my ear. Oh, why you ain't booing? But all I could hear is, wah, 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 wah. Because I was free at that point, right? And I didn't realize in the beginning that I was free. All I know is that I got locked up. Let me just back it up here. Because this is where my process started for me. And I believe in trusting in the process, right? And that's realistic for me. Unrealistic is knowing that it don't work, right? So my sister, I told you, was mentally retarded. She was kidnapped. They raped her. And they left her in a creek for dead. I had a bench worn out for my arrest because I like to bust people's cars out their window. That's another story. And windows out their cars, y'all know what I mean. Look, let me tell you, I just told y'all I smoke both. And when I ain't taking my medication on the regular, I'm subject to say anything, all right? So just know I take my medication at night, so I'm still working off last night's dose. Don't be putting them unrealistic expectations on me. Okay, so the police come to my house, my mother's house at the time, because I always lived with my mother. I thought that my story for my life was going to be that I was going to live with my mother and smoke crack till they died, and then I was going to live off the insurance money. Imagine my mother and father gone, the money gone, and now I'm still. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm talking about is the expectations that I had for my life were very limited, right? So they locked me up. They had me in the room, and everything you see on TV about the police, believe me. Because they had a good cop in there and a bad cop in there. One was talking to me nice, one was talking to me greasy. The other one told me this, that, and the third. The other one was offering me coffee, tea, and cookies and shit. And then they left out the room. You know, I had to take a lie detector test. And when the guy came back in there, he said, you know, you don't make no sense that you sold your sister for a dime bag of crack. Hello. Instantly, I fell to my knees and I said, God, if you get me out of this one. That was my sincere prayer. I didn't even realize that I was asking God to move through my sister and that situation to get me here. So the guy came back in, told me I was free to go, and from that day started my process. Okay? So I dropped my baby father off. You seen me? I dropped him off, and I went home. And I got that shit cracked me up too, y'all. Cause y'all need to know I ain't looking for real. I'm just trying to hide out from that nigga. Right. So I got I have three sons. My oldest son is 24 years old. I have an 18-year-old and I have an 11-year-old. And at the time, my son, that's 24, was 10. I was wearing a pair of his pants because I was wearing 98 pounds soaking wet. I had a little Caesar. Y'all know what a Caesar haircut is? Little Caesar haircut because I ain't had time for no hair. I went to detox when my cousin came and gave me a hat on a semi-white t-shirt, tied up in the back, shorts, booty, cut up, pair of heels on, and the guy, my counselor, told me that every time I walk, that my hip was popping out of place. I thought I was switching, but for real, I was getting it back in place. But you couldn't tell me that I wasn't fly. I'm talking about the unrealistic expectation. Because I told y'all when I came in here, everybody wanted me. If you looked at me 5 minutes, you want me. They want me. She want me. It ain't matter who. I'm that day. That's a big word. That's broad. They. All y'all out there want me. So I get the detox right, and at this time, I honestly believe, you know, I wasn't one of those people that was brought up in the church, but I do believe that this is a spiritual program, and so when God got me out of that situation, I knew that he had something better for me. So when I got the detox, everything they told me to do, I done. I stayed in detox for 170-some days. You know, I stopped counting after 150 because the shit started getting repetitious. Right? We start doing the same shit over and over. So, so in that process, I went to the Women's Day Support Program. They told me to get a sponsor. And my first sponsor was given to me. You know, I went to meetings every day. I prayed, and I couldn't really help nobody. So my contribution to that was just being in the room, right? Not carrying a lot of mess to Wanda. So my first sponsor was given to me, and that was cool because she was the suit that was fitting me. You know, she had her hair real nice. It was always fried, dyed, laid to the side. You know, she was dressing real nice. She had kids. She was a mother to her kids. I wanted all of that when I got here, right? But then my boo came. My half father, my baby father, the one that I'm not looking for. You seen him? So everything was wonderful. You hear me when I tell you wonderful? Because I thought at that point I had arrived. Because he used to tell me that it was me and you against the world, baby. And I thought that I was going to take, that was us. We was here. We was going to do this thing. Oh, my God. It was wonderful. We celebrated 2-3 years together. Everything was, and let me tell you, I got pregnant. And I was just living the life. I was working at a job paying $2.13 an hour. And I had arrived. Cause my boo was with me. I can do anything with him. I'm realistic. So one day I came home and this nigga was sitting up in the house gagging. I said, okay. Okay, God. And I knew that I had to make a decision. Either I was going to stay and continue to use with him, or I was going to find a new way to live. Because I had came so far,
right?
And I had gave up to a lot of stuff to be here to do something different, right? Because I didn't know what I was going to get into when I got here. All I knew is that I ain't one geek no more. Because I was a geeker, but see, I used to smoke by myself because I couldn't take the fact that people was moving around. You're doing too much. I was one of those people that had to be in the bathroom, right? In the bathroom, because ain't no windows in there. And then after I start smoking, they coming through the vent. Right? Now, I wasn't thinking about people coming through the vent. I always thought that my plant people was going to shoot me in the back of my head. That was the, and I still, let me. So, okay, so when he started using, I made that decision, and the sponsor that I had was not doing step work, right? And I went to a meeting, and I was listening to people sharing, and I felt that hole getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I said, I got to do something. So what I done, every day I used to go down to the detox because I had made a report to people because I've been there so long. You know, I knew my first name. So my sponsor, she say I set her up, I hijacked and all that stuff. Whatever, you here now, baby. So what I would do is I would go down there, I would read the book. Newcomers, don't try this at home, okay? I would read the book, and then I would go talk to my sponsor about it, and then whatever she said that made sense to me, then I said, okay, I'm going to get her. She instantly took me to the steps, right? And I just shared step 1, 2, and 3 with y'all, that I can't, he can, I think I'll let him. And when I decided to leave out that house that day, and I said, God, take my will in my life, guide me in my recovery, and show me how to live, that right there put me into another plateau of my spirituality. So my sponsor said, okay, baby, now it's time to do some big girl stuff. Right? So I started writing. She gave me a list of prayers, and she said, every time you get to writing, before you write, you say these prayers, and you get busy. Then, mind you, I fell into the hype like everybody else. Oh, you want this going to happen when you do your fourth step, do this, do that. And I put it down, you know, because I'm human. But the unrealistic expectation. But I had to ask myself, Tawanda, do you really want to get better? What was the purpose of you coming here just to be clean? So I had to pick it back up. And once I made my mind up that I wanted to get better, I got busy. Called my sponsor, because it say in the literature, after you do a fourth step, immediately do a fifth step. Don't wait to wander. Don't wait. So I made that appointment, went to my sponsor's house, because that's how it was for me. I went there. She wanted what I had. I mean, I wanted what she had. She didn't want what I had. So I had to get there by any means necessary. I was on the bus. I had 2 kids. I was, you know. So when I got there, it was me, her, God in the room. We said a prayer, and I got busy. And I started telling her stuff that I thought I was going to take to my grave. See, because the unrealistic expectations, again, is that when I tell you something, I think that you're not going to like me. When I tell you something about me, I think that you ain't never been there, so you don't understand where I'm coming from. So I told my sponsor, now this is how God worked, because I told y'all I was going to take all this stuff to my grave. I told her about how I used to sleep and trick with my cousin, grown. I was grown, sleeping and tricking with my cousin for money to get one more, right? I told her some stuff about me digging and crawling on the floor, digging in my father's pants pocket, who was disabled, waiting for him to get up out the chair because I know that money would fall out his pocket and dig down in the chair. I told her all that stuff. And she's sitting there, and she, writing down. I'm saying to myself, what the fuck is wrong with her? I'm telling her some deep shit here. What is she writing on that paper? Right? Because now I'm thinking, realistically, she talking about me. This bitch ain't trying to help me for real. Let me get my shit done. Punch her in the face while I'm on my way out. So after I finished, I I was free. She said, okay, breathe, baby. So now I get to see what she writing on this paper. The Holy Braille, Grail. And it was my assets and my liabilities, you know. And every time I would share something, my sponsor would share something else with me when I was doing my fifth step to make me understand that we was more like than different. That's how I compared in when I got here. Because really, when I got here, I didn't want to compare out. I wanted to find whatever y'all was doing, that's what I wanted to do too. So it was real simple for me. So she gave me the list. It was my assets and my liabilities, and I realized this is the, unrealistically, I thought that all my liabilities would not be able to be assets, you know, but I found out today that I have a lot of liabilities that have became assets, right? Like I'm nosy. I like to, okay, moving on. So look, in the sixth step, they just talk about I got to take a look at them, right? So I'm looking at them, and I realize that I'm selfish, that I want people to do what I want when I want them to do it, and that I want everything around me to be the way I want it to be, and I want to be this perfect person. I want everybody to like me. The list goes on and on and on. And my sponsor said, baby, don't worry about it, because in the seventh step, it said you got to humbly ask him to remove these shortcomings. Let me tell you, when I was in the, my sponsor told me that every situation you on in your life is a step for that. I don't know how it works, I just do. And this particular day, I had moved up from my $2.14 an hour job. Now I'm working at Sports Authority, make about $7-$8. Woo! And I'm on the phone in the front on the cash register talking, and this girl tell me, I got to get off the phone. I'm like, what the fuck are you? You ain't my supervisor. Fuck on, wait a minute. I'm still talking. So she come over to me, and she hit me on my arm and turned around and punched me in the face. I said, God damn. You talking about humble. I got humble as a mother. I instantly called my sponsor. I said, you know, this girl just punched me in my face and I ain't do nothing, blah. She said, okay, Tawanda, well, what did you do? What part did you play in that? And I had to realize that I was in there stealing time from them people. They paying me to work. They ain't paying me to talk on the phone. Right? Too much is given, much is required. And you need to understand that it might be something as small as just standing at the restroom. Okay, God. So, in the eighth step, we talk about just making that list. And I got my list from my fourth step, right? And it was a lot of people on that list. I was on the list. My kids was on the list. My mother and father was on the list. I had some institutions on the list. Y'all know, like the IRS. I had a couple of communities on there. Didn't understand why, right? Because I was just standing outside talking out the side of my neck. They, so what? They was going to work. If they wasn't fucking with me, I wasn't fucking with them. That was simple. So my mom said, okay. And my sister was on the list. Bless her heart. And at this time, I had moved up from the $7 an hour job. I got an associate's degree in accounting. I was working on a job, and I was about to get married. And I called my sister, and I made this big old amends, and the speech, and the burning bush was burning in the back. And the narrator was talking. And she said, I don't give a damn about none of that. You shouldn't have stole my car and sold it and hung up the phone. I said, Lord, I called my sponsor. She said, baby, you've done your part. All you can do is all you can do. Unrealistic expectations was that she was going to take me back open arm. You know, but I was a willing participant when I was out there. I still am at some time. So I had to let that go, and I said, okay, God's going to take care of that, right? So I put the IRS on the list. You know, I ain't have to make no amends of them. They came looking for me. My sponsor told me all you got to do is say a prayer, and the people going to come out the woodwork. Now, I told y'all I was about to get married, and I'm waiting on my income tax check. Oh, my God, they snatched my money. I called the people. I gave them a sad story, because you know we all got one, and I don't think nobody's story sadder than mine. So I get to talking to the mayor, oh, crap. It's like, well, ma'am, that's all fine and good, but we got our money, and now you are paid off, and that is the end of that. My husband's like, I don't know why you calling. People think they're going to do what you think they're going to do. They want their money. They don't want all that. Yeah. Thought I could talk my way out of that. That was unrealistic. Pay them people their money, right? So... the tenth step for me is mandatory. I got to do it every day. So I used to, it's a pamphlet called Living the Program. And every day I would write in that pamphlet and I would reflect on my day. Right? And if I, now I get unrealistic expectations is that at that time I was going to make that amends right then and there. That ain't happening. Right? So I had to use that pad so that I can be conscious of what I'm doing. So that it would come second nature to apologize if I harmed you. Realistic or unrealistic expectation. I mean, let me tell you, when harm, for me, it don't have to be real. It could be imaginary too. Right? Because in my mind I say, shit, them motherfuckers, they don't know what you're talking about. That bitch, look at her, you know? And I'm harming her and don't even realize it. So I have to make that amends right there, right? And the 11th step, Lord, this is one of my best steps because it talked about the prayer and the meditation. And I used to smoke cigarettes. I'm going to step on those smokers' toes, right? But I got hypnotized to quit smoking, right? You laughing, but I ain't smoking no more. Now, I ain't saying it's going to work for y'all, but they tell you to find a suit that fits you in here. That suit worked for me. And me and my sponsor bumped heads a lot of times because she used to smoke cigarettes, too, and she would tell me, oh, baby, you can do it. Yeah, okay, give me a cigarette. I used to be smoking with the patch on. Look, hiding behind people. I remember being up here in Ocean City one year, had the patch on. I told the girl, let me hit that cigarette, dude, boy. Ducking behind. Who I'm hiding from? Only person know I got the patch on is me. Right. So when I went to the hypnotist, he told me that water is a soothing mechanism. Right. So every time I get in the shower, I pray and I meditate. And I ask God to allow me to do his will and not my own. Because left up to my own devices, I will self-destruct. I have proven that time and time again. I just got out of self-destruct mode now. I got a button on my back or something. Put me right into, just got out of self-destruction mode, right? Because I am my own worst enemy. And I found out in my fourth step, in the 12th step, it just talk about carrying a message to the addict who still suffers. That's why I'm here. Because I believe that each one of us is indebted to help somebody like somebody first helped us, Victor. So, you know, I do what I can. They told me to get a sponsor. They told me to go to meetings. They told me to help somebody. They told me to pray. You know, help somebody with no strings attached to Wanda. You know, so I don't even share with people, not even my husband, what I do for other people on a daily basis. Because it ain't nobody's business but me and God. Right? I'm a subgroup of Eric. I come in the meeting late and hug everybody in the room. But my what I say is that I'm paying my contribution to the fellowship of Emma. That's some shit. So unrealistic expectations for me. The end of my story, I mean, at where I'm at today, I am in the process of getting my master's degree in healthcare administration. My undergrad is in accounting. I got a real good government job, you know, I got a loving husband. Shout out. I got 3 beautiful kids. I got a grandson. My youngest son has sickle cell anemia, and for those of y'all who don't know, that's a cancer of the blood, and it is terminal and fatal, right? So we've been in the hospital ever since he was 6 months old, in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. But today I'm here to tell y'all that God works in mysterious ways, because my son takes chemo every day by mouth, and he has not been in the hospital in over a year. And I love that little boy. He is my life. You know, I do a lot of stuff for him. You know, I'm clean now, staying clean for him. Because my fear is that he gonna be using. You know, but I don't have no, that's unrealistic too. Because God said, okay, baby, we gonna just put him in your life. And I used to always wonder, why me? Don't ask why, just keep going. I got you. Just keep going. I got you. So when you see me, I might be going through a whole lot of stuff. But that's the reason why I hug everybody in the meeting, Eric, when I come in late. Because I need to give that off so that I can get it back. So that I can keep going. Because some days it's hard for me, right? But other days are better. So I need y'all, Eric. No, I don't have much time. I got left. Oh, thank you. Okay. Like I was saying today, I'm in the process. My husband had a lot of health issues. He just had an open heart surgery a couple of months ago. God is awesome because he here. You know, he walking, he talking, he doing everything that he thought that he would not be able to do, you know? And I'm talking about doing some big girl stuff. I'm talking about being accountable. I'm talking about being able to take care of somebody else with no strings attached. You know, I'm talking about being able to get outside myself even when I don't want to and carry my ass to work. Because that's another me. Because, you know, I'm in this self-destruct mode now because we're supposed to be relocating to South Carolina. And so I had told the people on my job, my supervisor, that I no longer need their assistance anymore because I'm not going to be gracing y'all with my presence after June because, you know, I plan on doing this, I plan on doing that. And then went down and done all of that, and everything fell through. And I had to come back home and humbly... humbly ask my boss, well, ma'am, what is it that I'm not doing that you need me to do? Because my contract expired in June, right? So now I need to figure out what it is that you need me to do. Whatever you want, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And she gave me a list of shit. I dare her. A list of shit that I wasn't doing right. I said, yes, ma'am, yes. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You know. But I'm trying to rectify that situation because unrealistic expectations is that I think I run that job. That's unrealistic. The reality is that I need my job. I need it. Like the air I breathe, you know. In order to be able to continue to live this life, I got to be prosperous. And in order to be prosperous, I have to be obedient. When I'm not being obedient, something is wrong. So if y'all see me out there and I'm talking out the side of my neck or I'm cutting up, please pull me up, okay? Because I need y'all to keep me here. My name's Tawanda. I'm an addict. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Thank Tawanda and Eric for the
Tawanda.
Can we close with the serenity prayer? Can we close with the serenity prayer? God, grant me serenity to accept things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you.